Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Markets have entered into an extremely volatile phase. The Nifty ended its 6 month winning streak in November, ending 4% lower, pulling back 8% from record highs of October. Much of the market anxiety is led by global factors, but a big fundraise in the primary markets also had put some pressure on liquidity. While economic activities are gradually picking up, threat of a new COVID-19 variant, Omicron, has emerged. So, amid this mixed signals and volatility, which way will markets swing? To discuss that and more, I'm in conversation with Jitendra Arora, Equity Fund Manager, ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Hi, Mr. Arora. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen.
So let's begin by looking at the year back, how equity markets performed in India, especially in 2021. And we come from two contexts. One is post-pandemic, and second, 2021 and 2020 was actually, despite the pandemic disruptions, it was a phenomenal year for equities. So in that context, how do you see performance of Indian stock markets in 2021?
Great. So to begin with, just to recap it a little bit, last year, when the equity markets fell rapidly, just when the pandemic broke out, which was towards the end of February and March 2020, we saw Nifty correcting very sharply by almost 40%. And thereafter, towards the end of March, when the correction had happened, we have seen a Nifty move, which has been unprecedented for the span of time in which it has happened. Nifty has moved almost by 120-130% in last 18 months. And that's been a very sharp move, especially considering the environment where we were plagued by a pandemic for a long period. Economic activity was quite depressed. However, what has led to that is essentially following. One, the governments were quick to act with respect to controlling the pandemic, and we have seen that played out in India as well. Two, initially the economic activity was slightly subdued. We had lockdowns. However, markets soon realized that the situation is going to be temporary, and they start pricing in that how the future will look like, which meant that they started pricing that when things resume back to normal, how things will be and what kind of earnings will the market, the companies report. And as a result, the stock markets quickly recovered when they priced in that. And third, obviously, because of a lot of central bank actions, we have seen huge amount of liquidity getting created, which found its way into the equity markets. These three factors, combined by the fact that on the earnings front itself, companies showed much more resilience to pandemic in terms of their earnings performance, led to a very quick bounce back. And so much so that by the end of calendar 20, we were higher than where we were before the pandemic. And on that base also, we continued to build on the performance for the stock market, so that by end of last month, or if you look at 1 year performance for Nifty as I speak, it's almost 30% from the beginning of December last year. And if I were to change it to, let's say, 31st December 2022, now we are almost 21% higher than where we were. So this is again happened because of two or three factors. One is obviously the liquidity buildup continued. Second has been the earnings performance. So earnings performance for Nifty companies has been fairly good.
No doubt, Indian markets have actually outperformed global peers despite the hiccups, especially the second wave that had almost disrupted the economy. This I'm talking about in June quarter.
Yes, that's again due to the fact that though the second wave impacted the markets and the economy significantly, but unlike the first wave where it was a prolonged one, the second wave was a very short one, though it was much more intense, I would say, and also in terms of overall impact on individuals, it was a much more debilitating compared to the first wave. However, the economy recovered very quickly out of it. And that's why the performance of the companies was much better. Just give you an example that at the peak of the second wave, nobody had any hope for the second quarter earnings from Nifty. But when we finally look at how the Nifty companies did, we can see that Nifty earnings on a free float adjusted, free float weighted basis witnessed almost a 35% YOY growth in Q2 FY22. This was obviously better than the market analysts who expected it to be around 25% higher. And as a result, this sustained earnings performance by a lot of Indian companies, corporates, has ensured that India remains one of the better placed markets globally. On top of that, stability at the macro level in the form of a good view on the currency overall, contained current account deficit, giving the market the belief that we will remain stable in terms of currency performance, and also a lot of inflows wherein, because certain other economies globally were going through a phase where they were seeing outflows, India became a natural choice for inflows. So these factors continued to lead to outperformance by Indian markets in the calendar 21.
Yeah. So, but, you know, in November, when there were first reports of the new COVID variant, Omicron, we saw a major portion of the BSE 500 getting knocked off. Does it really shake your confidence? Because somewhere it shows that people were ready to actually sell. And the moment there was a negative news, people did sell off, and that actually had knocked off 1,000 points in a single day. And we saw that kind of a sharp sell-off both on Sensex and Nifty. So does it show that there is a somewhere lack of confidence among investors?
So I wouldn't honestly jump to that conclusion, because markets, we all know that they tend to be reactive in short term. They have that tendency that any event may be exaggerated in the short term. And as a result, we will have those kind of reactions. So that is one. And second, India was not unique in that kind of reaction. So if you see when the news of the Omicron broke out, that day, all the European markets were down around 2-3%. And even the US markets were down. So it's not that India was a standout market which was down higher than, let's say, its global peers on that day. It was simply a reaction to what was happening, where market was trying to assess that what can this new variant potentially lead to. And honestly, we still know very little about it to have any assessment at this stage about its transmissibility, as well as its effect in terms of health on the individuals. So we are still trying to figure that out, but market is still now trying to find out where it will settle. So we are in that process, and that process, to my mind, will take another 2 to 3 weeks, by which time we will have some clarity with respect to transmissibility as well as the health repercussions of this new variant and how long the market believes that this variant can have its impact overall.
See, typically December is generally a very, inactive month, especially from the FIS side, because it's a holiday month for the global fund managers. And typically we see a little less action by them. But this year particularly is very, very action-packed. We have Fed meeting coming up. Then we also have the new variant, which has already taken a lot of countries into action, where they have banned foreign travelers, that is probably going to have an impact on the economy. Do you think it's very interesting? Because at the same time, domestic economy in India has actually boomed. And if you look at the GDP data, or if you are looking at the fiscal deficit data or the GST numbers, those are great, that have actually boosted investor confidence, except for one or two data points like auto sales numbers. What do you think? Where do we move on from here? From the global perspective, there are challenges, but in India, domestically, we are doing quite well.
Right. I think you've hit the nail on the head when you described the situation. So obviously, December remains an activity of slightly subdued activity from the FII front, as you pointed out. And I am not expecting it to be any different this year as well. Obviously, we've seen a lot of FII selling, but the bulk of it has, according to me, happened in the month of October and November. Unless and until we see that Omicron variant is a very threatening variant to the economic activity per se, as I'll still reserve my judgment on that. Pending that, I believe that on the flow side, it should be muted compared to last month per se. And Indian economy, as you mentioned rightly, is now coming out of the impact of COVID. We see quite a few encouraging factors for the economy per se going forward. One is obviously a lot of government efforts on trying to restart the CAPEX cycle through the PLI schemes, which will give us a boost. In addition, the companies themselves are now operating at a higher capacity utilization levels, and they themselves are feeling the need for doing more CAPEX. We have seen that a lot of companies in this steel, cement sector continue to announce CAPEX or have announced CAPEX in the last 6 months. These CAPEX will materialize on ground over the next 2 to 3 years. In addition, on the real estate side, we are seeing perhaps a nascent beginning to the fresh cycle because of factors like flat to stable prices over last few years, lower interest rates. Thus, the affordability for individuals has improved significantly over last 6 to 7 years. As a result, they feel more confident of buying houses today. So these factors will ensure that the economic growth continues to trend strong for us over the next 2 to 3 years. And as a result, I expect earnings performance by the Indian corporates to be decent. Having said that, we need to add the variable, which is the flows. So the flows on the global side, we may see some kind of slow down in the flows as Fed begins to taper. The Fed tapering announcement obviously will come, but market seems to have more or less priced in, because the market, as the Fed governor in the testimony pointed out, that they will look at a slightly stronger pace of tapering than what was discussed during the last policy. So that event, to my mind, is somewhere market is pricing it already. So that I do not expect hereafter to upset the market significantly per se. Having said that, the valuations, as we've discussed, they still remain higher than the historical levels. So we may see markets perhaps consolidating around the current levels, or We may see some small corrections here or there. But if you ask me over the medium term, I'm fairly positive for Indian equities because I do believe that Indian companies can continue to compound their earnings at low double digits. And that's the kind of return I expect from this asset class over the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. We'll talk about earnings in more details in a bit. But before that, let's talk about the domestic liquidity, the DII money. Of course, the SIP number that we have seen month on month has been at record high. I think a few months back, the inflow in equities also have reversed to positive inflows. But last 3 to 4 months, there it has slowed down. What is it actually? Is it because of redemption? Because investors are realigning their portfolios, or do you genuinely feel that there is a redemption pressure in equity portfolios?
So on an overall basis, obviously the redemption pressure is not visible to me per se. So we may, as you pointed out, the SIP flows are at the record high, and they are now clearly the dominant part of the equity inflows as far as domestic investors are concerned. And this, I believe, is a very healthy change which has happened over the last few years, that rather than having flows coming in at the same time by various HNIs or corporates or individuals even, the market has learned the advantage of systematically flowing money into the markets. So I don't expect that trend to change very quickly, if at all. I think SIP investors would like the fact that if the market's correct, we should see more investors coming into the market on a systemic basis. So that, to my mind, remains a good development for the Indian markets per se from a medium to long-term perspective.
Okay. You've been talking about the earnings. So I am very curious to know, because earnings, of course, September quarter earnings that we've just got completed, it shows that the recovery has continued, especially in the corporate earnings side. But this is about the listed companies or the listed space. But in the unorganized space, there are a lot of indicators which show that they have actually been affected badly. And they are obviously part of the economy overall. So do you think that there is a big gap between the listed space companies doing great in the earnings perspective, whereas the unlisted space or the unorganized sector actually limping and may take some time to catch up, and then overall it may impact the economy?
What you're saying is perhaps right, because anecdotally we do hear about it, we do read about it. However, there aren't too many numbers which we have available or which are published that suggest the same is the case. But I will agree with you when you say that unorganized sector perhaps has not come out of the pandemic as well as some of the larger listed peers which are there. And I think they will require some more time to come out like the listed peers have done. Having said that, we must also pay attention to the fact that as economy grows, we are likely to become more and more organized per se in the Indian economy. And that trend has to play out over a medium to long term. So the fact is that today, if unorganized sector is contributing X, tomorrow we are not expecting that contribution to go up. We are expecting that contribution to go down per se in the overall economy as the economy becomes more and more organized.
Okay. Now about the year ahead, 2022, I know there could be challenges as far as the new variant of COVID is, and of course the Fed tapering, liquidity getting drained out. But what is your overall outlook for equities in 2022? Maybe it may not be the same as the phenomenal run, bull run that we saw in this year, but any big triggers or any big factors that you're watching out for 22?
So clearly, two or three factors that we are looking out for. One, obviously, is the impact of the Fed tapering on the markets overall. We believe that as liquidity gets drawn away from the markets may enter a consolidation phase. Second is the reversal of the interest rate cycle. We expect RBI as well as Fed to raise rates next calendar year. The pace of that interest rate cycle can determine how the equity markets behave over the course of the calendar. And third, obviously, will be the earnings because markets right now are pricing in a 20% plus earnings growth for the next fiscal. So if companies continue to deliver on that, I believe that markets will continue to perform overall. Having said that, given the kind of rally which we have had seen over the last 18 months, I will not be surprised that the market continues to show some kind of time correction and consolidate around current levels over the next 12 months. But that still gives us opportunities from a bottom-up perspective wherein we can continue to make a difference and pick up companies which are likely to do well in any environment.
But any percentage that you can share with us, any percentage that you have worked upon, Sensex and Nifty? See, we are, of course, 2021, you know, we were, we did, you know, over 20%, 20, maybe 21 also, we are going to be around that month. So 22, any estimates?
It's very difficult to give any such estimates, Nasreen, honestly, because we all can see that how the earnings will behave. There right, we can have a sense. But how those earnings will be interpreted, there are other factors on top of that. And thus, it's very difficult to give any kind of estimate that markets will surely give this return over next 1 year.
But I'm sure you will be looking at the... Yeah, I'm sure you will be looking at the union budget and the state elections as well.
Sure, they will be factors. But again, those are, as I said, Nasreen, the underlying... for the market remains the corporate earnings and these things like, let's say, state elections or union budgets, they may impact for a quarter or a month per se, but over a period of time, it's how companies are operating, how they are delivering on the earnings that determines how the markets will be. And that's right. Where I'm pretty sanguine, given the construct we have in India of a double, where we expect it to grow in double digit in nominal terms over next decade or so. There are a lot of aspects which will lead to inflow towards the country. Thus, we are much more sanguine about the long-term growth of the markets rather than being too worried about the short-term.
Right. So on that note, thanks a lot for sharing those details. And we hope the markets continue to see a bull run as we saw this year. So thank you so much for sharing your time and we wish you a very happy new year.
Thank you, Nasreen. Wish you too a very happy new year.
Thank you. For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.